And to hear your good news, that's wonderful. And to know the faithfulness and leading of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your midst. And I would just say, in terms of an observation, brief time with you, there is a sense, from my perspective, that the presence of the Lord is here and that the next steps are directed. So be encouraged. So it's good to be with you today. Lynn, thank you for your prayer. That was amazing. Awesome to be in the presence of God and to be encouraged in spirit by Him. And as we come together this morning, just want to share some thoughts as we come to the Word. A couple weeks ago when I was with you, I shared with you a kind of a collection of old people thoughts that come to me now and again. I had a birthday yesterday, and my kids and grandkids remind me that I am getting older. And so here's a couple of things I ran across. Years ago, there used to be a little cartoon by Heathcliff the dog, and he always had a perspective. He says, "Finally old enough to do anything I want, and now too tired to actually do it." You know, I understand that. I've been there. I feel your pain. And then old age comes at a bad time. When you finally know everything, you start to forget everything you know. So, and then one that I came across just recently that's good. "I haven't lost my mind. It's just that half of it wandered away and the other half went to look for it." So, it's been my privilege with the assignment a couple of weeks ago and this week to come to the Word of God. And we're on the edge of completing one part of a story of God leading the Israelites out of Egypt, the Exodus. And we come to chapter 14, and it's awesome and amazing. It's one of those accounts that from childhood, in terms of Sunday school, all the way through, it engages our hearts and minds to imagination that just kind of is bigger than we can contain. And it's the story of this week is the story of God parting the Red Sea. Just kind of blows your mind as you think about the possibility. So as we come to the Word, it's my privilege to read it for you today. And we're starting at verse 15. Oh, well, just notice the first part of verse 1 in chapter 14. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp here.'" So we have this sense of momentum in terms of Exodus as people are moving. Remember, it's families. It's the leaders and their families, and it's all their household belongings, and it's all their livestock. Everything is with them. They're moving along, and the Lord says to turn here. And geographically, we're heading from the north out of the central part of Egypt down towards the Red Sea, along the sea. So we're turning left because we're headed south. And the Lord says, "Turn here." So the whole of the nation turns and comes down to the lower level of the land, off the plateau, higher land, down into the lower level, which is roughly about a mile in depth and about 2 miles wide. And so everybody comes down off of the plateau, down onto the lower level. And that's the Lord's direction. "Let's turn and camp here." Verse 1. So we know that in the following verses that when this happens, the Pharaoh's on the move. But we'll come back to visit that. So we pick the story up at verse 15 as we come to the reading of the word of the Lord. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch your hand out over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through on the sea as on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Though out of the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water to their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and the Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. Isn't that an awesome statement? The sea went back to its place. Okay, picking up in the middle of verse. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, and with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. When the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Let's pray for a moment. God, we come to your awesome word, and we pray that you will fill our minds with your sanctified focus. Help us to listen to your word, and Holy Spirit, draw out your truth that just can touch our lives to help us walk by faith with you in these uncertain days. So we offer you these moments. Invite your help and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we live in some exciting but challenging times, don't we? We're in the midst of occupation by semis around the nation. We're in the middle of the definition, a redefinition of what we call freedom, whether it's freedom from government-mandated restrictions or freedom from masks. Sometimes the mask is a little confining, but the whole idea of freedom from just having somebody else tell me what to do. And that's a big challenge. And for every one of us, there'll be a sense of how we define or explain what freedom is. I'm having a little easier time in my own personal makeup and winding to remember that when I submit to Jesus, I surrender my right to some kinds of freedom that puff up my own understanding and what I expect. And I live as a servant. And it's not always easy. And it doesn't mean that we judge or place that on others, but the whole idea of how we define freedom this last week is kind of front and center and kind of in your face. So there's a challenge of what we do that. And then we live in with the middle of this COVID time. The last couple of years has been different than what you or I thought life could be, right? It's just, who would have ever thought that one little germ or whatever they call that little thing could touch the whole of the earth? In all of my years kind of meandering along, I never understood the idea of the word in Scripture of how pestilence or plague would touch the whole of the earth. And that one little bug did it. At least it increased my understanding of how that could happen. And we may be living, science says, with some variation of these kinds of things for some time, maybe the rest of our days. What has to happen on the face of the earth in order for us to pay attention to God's perspective and seek his help? To cry out as a nation for help. We haven't done that yet. And we continue to be impacted. So we have things that touch our lives that challenge, how do I live for Jesus today? How do I live and follow him in the middle of troubled times? It's difficult in the middle of this sometimes to keep our spiritual resolve. But the biblical focus that's in this chapter reminds us of this point. How do we function when our faith is under pressure, under attack? And for some of us, it'll be physical needs. We go to the doctor and we hear a word and all of a sudden, whoa, what do we do? And as we look at the Israelites today, there is some encouragement. So one of the most amazing miracles in the Bible happens here. And as we allow our imagination to be kind of expanded and filled with wonder, let's look at what God's word is saying to us today. Because nothing limits God's power. Nothing limits him in terms of being able to act on his children's behalf. And I just believe that. And I think it's rather exciting. Yeah, so let's dig into the word. So we're reminded the Israelites were camping in this location because the Lord directed them to set up camp here along the beach. Now remember, in the first part of the chapter, when they went to that location and word was given back to Pharaoh, he thought that they had made a tactical error to be limited there, and he ordered the army to be prepared, and they pursued the Israelites to that location because after all that had happened, and Pharaoh had said, okay, now you can leave, he again changes his mind. In my devotions this last week, I'm reading the NLT Bible, the chronological Bible, and just gone through the plagues in the last few days. And it's amazing the times that Pharaoh says, okay, you can go. And then when the plague ends, then he changes his mind and hardens his heart and refuses to let him go. And all of the difficulty, and if you want to dig through the previous three or four chapters here in Exodus, it kind of leads up to this moment. You'll be reminded of what that is. But Pharaoh hears that they're camped on a restricted or limited location. They're down off the plateau. They're along the water. There's nowhere for them to run. They can't go back up through the gap that brought them down because Pharaoh's army is coming that direction. And the Israelites begin to understand, or they hear that the army is coming, and they really begin to be afraid as a people, wondering what will happen, calling out to God, really shaking their hand or fist at Moses, saying, what in the world did you do? It wasn't good enough that we, could live and die back there. You got to bring us here. Now, that's going to be a continuing theme through the Exodus as the people complain against Moses, whether they're wanting food or they want water or they want help in this or that. So, but right now, they hear that Pharaoh's army is on its way, and they begin to react as we tend to react as people when we hear news that's kind of overwhelming or beyond our capacity to understand and or control. So as this begins to unfold, the people cry out to God, and God is strategically in place to act on their behalf. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God is in strategic place to act on your behalf. For you and for me. He's in place, right time, right place, all the power that's needed for some amazing things to happen. So as we come to the middle of this story, and we're reminded of some of the things that have previously, last couple weeks ago we talked about that you and I are exactly in God's place at the right time, like right now. He knows who you are, who I am, and where we are in terms of encampment. He's asked us to be here. And one of the other lessons that we looked at was that God's honor is always to be acknowledged in the middle of the situation. The Israelites were looking for rescue. God was looking for a place to make a statement in glory to his name. And that's like for your life and my life. He wants to be seen in and through you. And then one of the things we looked at was that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. No matter what the circumstances are, we're reminded here in Scripture in the first part of chapter 14, keep your eyes fixed on the solution. Remember Hebrews, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter, or finisher of our faith. So the challenge for people throughout time has been to look not at the circumstances, but to look at Jesus. And the lesson in the middle of this is we need to look more at Jesus, who is our solution, than we do to be fixed on the problem. Boy, sometimes that's pretty hard, isn't it? Especially when you know you've got issues going on. And anyway, we could go sightseeing, but let's come back. So we come here to the middle of this, when God and Moses directs the people, cry out to God, talk to him, be in prayer for the situations in need. So we come here to Exodus, beginning at verse 15, and well, just drop back to 14 for a bit. So the lesson in the middle of this point is to trust God in the middle of the situation, but get ready to move. Trust God, but get ready to move. So we look at this and we see in verse 14, if I can find my place here. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, what he will bring you today." So we need to trust God, but we need to get ready to observe, but more than that, get ready to take next steps. Our tendency is to look at the challenge and at times to kind of either be overwhelmed overwhelmed, but to the point of being kind of immobilized. We just look at this and we're not sure which way to go. And as we look to God and we pour out our hearts to him, our tendency could be to whine and complain, but we're encouraged to move beyond that. Have you noticed in the middle of a challenge and our view of it, we tend to anticipate the worst that can happen. Our imagination tends to get overwhelmed with the what if to the far negative side. And sometimes our focus gets on the what if rather than on who and how the Lord is coming to encourage and help us. Our tendency is to look at the challenge and wish, like the Israelites, look at the challenge and wish either we were somewhere different or somehow the situation was different. And sometimes we spend a focus of our time trying to convince the Lord how it'd be best if this was removed from our lives. And sometimes in the middle of what we're facing, the Lord wants to make a statement of not removing us from it, but moving us through it or causing it to disappear or causing it his power and blessing to be active in our lives so that his solution is seen. Moses reminds the people, stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. They were looking at the Egyptians standing up on the ridge and just were sure that this was the end because the water was there and there was no place to go. And the Lord and Moses says to them, look, you're asking God for help. Watch what he does. By faith, look at what he does. It doesn't mean we're going to fully understand it, but we can certainly be amazed by it. And the wow factor of the power of God active in our lives renews and regenerates and encourages us as we look to the future. So the challenge is to trust God and get ready to move for what it is that he wants to do. There's a time to stop talking and doubting and to get ready to move. And Moses learns God's solution here and begins to act on that. But as we see the power of God at work, it's an amazing thing. And it's rather interesting that the presence of God moves between the Egyptians and the Israelites, and also the pillar of God takes up a position between the two nations. And over the course of time, they're there. Like, it doesn't say how long the Israelites were camped down on the level. It was enough time over the course of a few days or a couple of weeks for Pharaoh to marshal the armies, get the chariots in order, and find horses to lead the chariots, because one of the plagues that was just before was that all of the livestock, including camels and cows and oxen and horses, had been diminished because of the impact of the plague. So Pharaoh has to come and find resources somewhere to get enough horses to lead or to use the chariots. So however long the Israelites are camped down on the water, then the Egyptians finally come along and overtake them and are looking at an opportunity or a way to overcome them, because their desire was to recapture the Israelites as slaves. So when you come here to verses 19 to 23, you can kind of see what begins to happen as the pillar of the Lord, the pillar moves and the presence of the Lord moves. And so we need to watch the Lord rescue us in a miraculous way. That's what's going on here with the Israelites. And Moses says to them, stand and look, see what's going to happen. And then the word of God says that the next thing that happens in verse 21, that Moses stretches out his hand over the sea. Now, as a kid, this was always such an amazing moment. You stretch out your hand and the waters go like this. Well, it wasn't quite like that, but isn't that, even Hollywood at its best animation or theatrics in setting up scenes can't do what the power and presence of the Lord did. The water, which in your experience and mine, always runs flat to the lowest common denominator, right? You don't just kind of pick up the water and move it out of the way with your hands. Well, we try to splash each other at times in the water and make a big commotion, but the water always comes back. But here is this amazing statement in Scripture. Moses stretches out his hand with the staff, and the Word of God says that the winds came out of the east, and the waters divide right down your kin. What kind of powerful wind had to come and hit the water like a knife and split it from left to right? And not only split it from left to right, but lift it out of place and set it in a wall. And not only lift it out of place and set it in a wall, but create a dry path, roadway, for the Israelites to walk on. Awesome. Nothing that the Israelites would have ever expected. They were trying to figure out, how in the world will our rescue come up over that mountain where the Egyptians are? Because in our physical understanding, we don't see the water parting on our behalf as a practical solution to needs, right? We get ourselves in situations where there doesn't seem to be any solution, at least in our thinking. And the power of God does an amazing, amazing thing. The Word of God says the water parts. The power and presence of the Lord and the wind comes up and it creates a dry path. And God's word says that as this happens, the Israelites are back over here. Well, we're over here. I pointed with this way the first time. The Israelites are over there, and on the other side of the pillar, it is absolute darkness. So dark that they cannot move or do anything in the middle of the darkness. On the other side is this amazing light that permeates so that people can see, and the water begins to part. And this amazing thing happens. Instead of people being overwhelmed by what the challenge is, all of a sudden they're looking at the sea and going, can you believe this? And they're poking or punching each other and saying, look, look. And the water parts and the walls go high and there's this sense of dry pathway in the middle. And as this is happening, the Egyptians are over here and the water's parting and Moses says, are you ready? Go. Ready? Get set? Go. And they walk across on dry land. Now, geographically, archaeologists say that it is about 19 kilometers or 12 miles from where they walked from the dry land on this side across the Red Sea to the other. Now, in my head, roughly, if you go out 25th Avenue and you go down to where McDonald's or Tim's is, or a little bit further to where the airport is, from there all the way down across the lake to the other side, that's about how far they walked in the middle of the night. They covered that amount of distance as they crossed the Red Sea, which was a dry path for them to be able to get across. I can imagine as they walk across and the wall of water is there, there's a couple of big fish that are swimming by looking at them as they walked, you know, just kind of keeping pace. The life in the water continued. It just had a division in it for a little bit. But the Word of God says that the waters parted, that the walls were there, the wind continued, and they walked across on dry land. And then as most are across, in the last watch of the night, according to the Word of God, the Egyptians see what's happening, that most of Israel is way over there on this dry path. And the Word of God says that they get in the chariots and they head across. Now, the mechanics of this story unfolding is that the dry ground must begin to loosen up a bit. Chariot wheels fall off, and there is just a sense of confusion because the Lord is working with Israel, not with the Egyptian army. And as the Egyptian army gets partway across, in the middle of all of this confusion and difficulty and equipment that's failing and not working, they begin to say to themselves as soldiers, let's get out of here because God's fighting for them, not for us. Now remember that thought, because there's moments in all of the plagues when the officials around Pharaoh say, you need to let them go because God's working on their behalf. And plague after plague after plague, this scenario where leaders are saying, God is here and working, it's been happening. And now we see it unfolding here again. They turn. I don't even know if they got the chariots turned around. I think they just jumped out of the back of their chariots and they started running as fast as they could back to 5 or 6 miles towards the shoreline because they're probably well over halfway. Now, I don't know about you, but running 5 or 6 miles under pressure has got to be a bit of a challenge. You're running out of breath and your feet are heavy in the silt and sand, but they're making their way, and over on the other side, God says to Moses, raise up your hand. And when he does that, the miraculous moment of the walls of the pathway in the sea give way. And the Word of God says that the water returned to its place. The water returned to its place. Now, I don't know. I would guess that there's probably at least 50 or 60 feet of water at that point, because in today's world, modern ships that are huge go over those points and don't hit bottom. So there's got to be a level there. Anyway, all of that to say, the miracle of God takes place and the Israelites are saved. And you come to a moment as you watch God work on our behalf when we expand our faith in God and we come to a moment of saying, thank you, God. And we give him glory. And that's kind of the point of this whole thing in your life and mine. God works on our behalf in miraculous ways, and he wants his glory to be seen in you and through you. And we live in challenging times, but God is at work. Let me wrap it up here. I've gone a little longer than I should have, but here's a couple of points to take with us as we go home. The first is, waiting for God allows us to get ready to move forward. Can't just look at the problem. If we're praying people and we're asking God for help, then we need to also be expecting that he'll work. What do I need to do to get ready to do that? Here you are, prime example, just on the edge of having a new pastor and his wife and family come to be part. And you've been praying for this for some time, but now it's time to get ready to move forward. Where is this leading, and what is God going to want to do? And we're in this wow moment today where God has answered your prayer in terms of leadership, and now it's coming to a start time. Okay? God, through this example in terms of Exodus chapter 14, says, get ready. I mean, expect the miracle, but get ready to move forward. I have a granddaughter. If you want her to get really going, you just say, get set, get ready, go. And she takes off like a whirlwind. Well, some of us aren't going to move like a whirlwind, but we do need to be in a posture of saying as a church, let's get ready to move forward. Because that's what God's been doing, isn't it? And he's saying, okay, you've made requests. Now, move ahead. Here's the second thing that comes with this. God had a divine solution when we seem to be surrounded with no exit point. Sometimes in our challenges, we kind of think that we're blocked in or we're at a dead end or there's no real solution. But nothing limits God's power. In fact, God's word says nothing is impossible with him. And, you know, Paul writes, when I am weak, then he is strong. And all of this comes to the point of realizing God's solution is what we want in our lives today. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to understand. And then we need to be ready to tell God's story in our lives when he rescues us. His glory is to be seen in and through you and me. You need to be willing to simply say, let me tell you what God did for me this week. And it isn't to our honor and glory, but it's to his, because he gives us the privilege of investing his name, the name of Jesus, in any of the situations that we face. And it's as we use the name of Jesus that he works amazingly, miraculously, wonderfully, regularly, on your behalf, my behalf, and for the sake of the church. Boy, oh boy, we need to tell somebody. We need to tell somebody how amazing it is that the God of Scripture is the one who works in our lives and on our behalf every day. Lord, you are amazing. Thank you for the way that you work and lead in my life. Let's have just a word of prayer as we conclude. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have of following you, and the privilege we have in moments, even of difficulty, of just leaning into your blessing and your grace and allowing you to work mightily, but also gently on our behalf. So we offer you our lives, and we pray that in these moments you will use our lives to tell your story in wonderful ways. In Jesus' name, amen.